What's going on, everyone? Welcome to One Man's Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 1st of November 2021, and we are here today to recap another great week in sports. On today's episode, we are going to be recapping the Eagles' beatdown of the Detroit Lions in Detroit yesterday. My apologies for saying the game was going to be taking place in Philly on last week's episode of the show. Nonetheless, we will be going over the game from yesterday as well as some seismic news in the NFL that is going to shake up the landscape. Before we get started, if you want to find us on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Noah Gillian, and you can find the show's account at OneMansOpinion17. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. To start off today, let's go over the Eagles-Lions game from yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles went into Detroit yesterday and, at least for the moment, proved that they are competent in the NFL circles with a huge beatdown of the worst team in the NFL this season. The Eagles ended up winning 44-6. The Lions are still winless after Sunday's game, with their record now moving to 0-8. It was a very good day yesterday in terms of the ramifications for the 2022 NFL draft, and specifically the Eagles' selections in the first round. The Dolphins looked decent, but ultimately ended up losing to the Buffalo Bills, keeping their win total on the year to only one, with their record being 1-7 and the second worst record in the league. The Colts, who gave the Eagles a conditional first-round pick in the Carson Wentz trade, also lost yesterday, moving their pick back into the top 10 for the 2022 draft. And to make matters even better, Carson Wentz played every single snap yesterday, meaning that the Eagles are all that closer to cashing in on that draft selection, making it a true first-round pick instead of a second-round pick if Wentz misses time. It could have gone a little better, however, if you're looking, you know, if you only cared about the 2022 draft. If the Eagles had lost, it would have made their first round pick more valuable, obviously, while also meaning the Dolphins would have moved into a tie for the worst record in the league. Obviously, the Eagles were playing Detroit. They would now be 1-7. However, the Eagles did win yesterday, keeping their heads above water in the 2021 season. It was a really weird game yesterday, in my opinion. In a game where the Eagles scored 44 points, the offense was not very explosive at all, and there were not very many big plays. It was, you know, pretty boring, as a matter of fact, as boring as you could have an Eagles huge blowout where they scored 44 points. They had a very methodical game plan of running the football, and, you know, it's funny what happens when you, you know, prioritize the run in a game against a team that can't defend the run. It's also funny what happens when you prioritize the run in general with a banged up offensive line that needs to find a rhythm. Nonetheless, that I will not divulge much more on that. Nonetheless, let's go over the numbers behind the win. The Eagles killed it on the ground, like I mentioned, running for 236 yards, easily their most on the ground this season, and it completely set the tone for the whole game, making Jalen Hurts have an extremely quiet game. And it was weird. Again, like I said, the Eagles absolutely dominated this game, but the offense as a whole did not have a very explosive day. Let's just start with that running game, and we'll break that down first. Boston Scott led the way in terms of yardage. He had 60 yards on the ground on 12 carries. Actually had two touchdowns as well, both goal line carries. Jordan Howard also had 12 carries for the Eagles for 57 yards and another two touchdowns. Kenneth Gainwell had 13 carries for 27 yards on the ground. Didn't have anything in the passing game. And he really wasn't involved to start the game at all. I don't think he had a carry in the first three quarters. And most of his work came in mop-up duty, which was very strange. We'll get into that in a few seconds when I talk about the impressions, but definitely a very weird usage game for Kenneth Gainwell. Jalen Hurts had a great game on the ground, 7 carries for 71 yards, which he looked great on the ground. All of his runs looked phenomenal. And also Jalen Reagor had 2 carries for 21 yards on the ground as well. Thankfully, Nick Sirianni finally got back to his roots in using his wide receivers in the jet sweep run game, which was something we talked about in the preseason. When Nick Sirianni initially got hired, we came on the podcast and, you know, said that this was one thing that the Colts really liked to do, to get their big explosive players, get the ball in their hands on jet sweeps running and get them in action. And, you know, Rager actually looked explosive, and it seemed he felt more in a rhythm, because he got the ball in his hands and, you know, got more into the game, and he really seemed engaged throughout the whole game instead of, you know, getting one or two deep targets a game and really not getting any looks outside of that. So it was really good to see that. You know, I loved what I saw on the ground. The reason the Eagles were so good during their Super Bowl run and their subsequent playoff appearances was the run game. They consistently played through the run game and the offensive line, which opened up the entire field for Wentz and Foles, and hopefully now Hurts, you know, just to give them some more room to make plays. It opens up everything in the passing game, and the ability to run the football also is going to help Jalen Hurts, you know, dissect the field and use his own legs. Boston Scott will start with just my impression from him. I mean, he somehow always comes in and just gets the job done no matter what. It's almost like the defense doesn't expect them to be that strong and that fast and that elusive. You know, he's like a little bowling ball that always seems to fall forward as well, even though he's only 5'6". He's so strong after getting hit. You know, definitely not someone you could probably rely on as your number one running back, but, you know, whenever he's in, he seems to just get the job done, score touchdowns, fall forward on runs. He never seems to make a ton of mistakes. And he's someone who the Eagles have rightly prioritized in keeping around the last couple years. Jordan Howard, after he was discarded by a couple other teams in the league, got the Eagles uniform on and regained the magic he had with the Eagles the last time he was able to play with the team. You know, he looked good yesterday. I mean, where has this Jordan Howard been? I think he earned himself a lot more carries throughout the year, especially with Miles Sanders hurt. I think Jordan Howard is going to continue to be involved in the game just to provide that bruising aspect of the backfield that the Eagles have missed throughout the year. I mentioned this a little bit earlier with Kenneth Gainwell, but it was so strange to see what was going on with the usage of Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Which means, like, you know, the running game was not broken at all the whole game, so why try to insert a player into the fray when the players who are in are killing it? You know, it was just strange to see, after he was easily the number two running back all year, to see him almost demoted in this game to the number three running back in the first game that Miles Sanders missed. And I was listening to some podcasts this morning, just trying to, you know, see what was going on and everything. And there was some people that have mentioned his struggles in pass blocking have been a big reason as to why he has, you know, not seen the field of late. And I get that completely. I mean, especially for a rookie, pass protection is one of the hardest things to do in the whole league. This is something that we mentioned on the running back preview show for our fantasy podcast early in the preseason, which was one reason why we were loving Javonte Williams on the podcast, was that he's a rookie, but he has been doing such a great job in pass protection that he was going to be able to see the field a lot more. Because when you're bringing in Kenneth Gainwell right now, you're almost hinting at the defense that it's going to either be a screen, or he's going to get a carry or something like that, because he's not going to be able to hold up in pass protection for 2, 3, 4 seconds. So that's something that he will need to get fixed soon, especially if he wants to see the field. And another reason why I continue to see Boston Scott and Jordan Howard handle a bulk of the carries, at least until Gainwell shows some improvement in that area. So all in all, the run game was absolutely phenomenal. This is the formula we should continue to take for the rest of the season. I would like to see a little bit more out of Jalen Hurts. I mean, at the end of the day, this season is really going to be a lost season. I kind of mentioned it earlier, and I'll talk about it a little more as we finish up the wrap-up for this show. But, you know, the Cowboys are looking great, and the rest of the NFC, the wild card picture, is not looking very favorable for the Eagles. So, you know, the division's really their main hope, and the Cowboys look really good. So it would take a full-on collapse, which I'm not ruling out, from the Dallas Cowboys. However, you know, I would like to see a little bit more from Jalen Hurts. I know I've been clamoring for the run game, but, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more of a balance. I think the pendulum may have swung a little bit too far one way. And, you know, I guess I'm being a little bit hypocritical here with, you know, I'd like to see the run game a lot more, but I'd also like to see Jalen Hurts. But, you know, I think the run game is probably our best formula to win games this year. But at the same time, you need to find out what you have in Jalen Hurts before this season is over. And, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that could go put up the stats he put up and, you know, do the things he did in this game. So it's going to be interesting the next couple games. Obviously, a lot more tougher competition coming up for the Eagles, whether it is, whether it's, you know, the Chargers this week or, you know, the Saints in a couple weeks. You know, they have the schedule's really starting to lighten up for them, actually, with the Chargers and Saints being the two best teams that we see down the stretch. Obviously, there's a lot of divisional games, and we have one more game against the Cowboys, but that's week 18 at home. So the schedule's going to open up here. I think this is a big opportunity for Jalen Hurts to have a really nice runway to success in the Philadelphia Eagles organization. But speaking of Jalen Hurts, now let's talk about the aerial attack. We already talked about the running game and how, you know, well it did and everything there. And now let's talk about Jalen Hurts throwing the ball. You know, he did not have a good game at all if you look strictly at the final numbers, though. But he did everything he was supposed to do to get a big win. He finished 9 of 14 for 103 yards. And like we said in the last section, he also ran 7 times for 71 yards. And, you know, honestly, he looked fine. His runs were very well timed. They were explosive. They were, you know, great to see. Every single run he had, I mean, I know he averaged about 10 yards a carry on that, but, you know, yards per carry can sometimes be a misleading statistic. But in this game, he truly was ripping off 10 yards almost every time. It was being very elusive, was breaking ankles, was escaping the pocket very well. When it looked like he was about to be hit, he would slip right out on, you know, some second and 14s, you know, some third and nines, third and 10s, you know, second and third and longs. He was able to slip out and pick up big first downs, which allowed them to get back to the running game and keep the clock moving, to keep the chains moving. And, you know, he did everything you could ask. You know, obviously only threw the ball 14 times for 103 yards, but it's not like he played bad. I wouldn't say he played bad yesterday. And it's really just for a lack of explosion that you could say he really didn't play great. I mean, if your quarterback throws it 14 times for 100 yards, you know, he can run the ball however much he wants, but he's not being a true difference maker at the quarterback position. So this is what I was kind of talking about in the last section. You know, Detroit, you know, you're running the ball all over them. And I said it, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know, at the same time, like, once you're up, you know, 20, 30 points, you know, obviously you don't want to run it up on them, but maybe try out some concepts. Try out some things that, you know, in live game situations, you know you're probably already going to win the game. So why not try out some things, you know, in the passing game here and there that could maybe help, you know, you out going into next week, you know, something like that. So I feel like I'm trying to make something out of nothing here. Just honestly, I really just want to throw this game away. In a game where the Eagles won 44-6, I really don't think there's a ton of takeaways out of this game. I mean, we thought the Eagles would win, and they did. You know, we ran the ball over them, which is something we didn't expect. You know, Jalen Hurts didn't have a good game. The defense had a great game, but, like, there's not, like, a ton of takeaways, I feel like, from this game that are tangible differences going into the rest of the year. I mean, the Los Angeles Chargers very, very much show struggle against the run. So I could see a similar formula next week being implemented against the Chargers. So that'll be interesting to see. But with a team like the Chargers with a lot more explosive offense, Jalen Hurts is going to be required to do some more. So I think that game is going to be a much truer indication, or at least a much better test for Jalen Hurts as it was this week. Obviously, you know, it's not groundbreaking to say that. I mean, the Detroit is 0-8, and the Chargers are in a lot better, you know, situation than that. You know, they're 4-3, only a game out of the lead in their division. So, you know, it's a lot better things that the Eagles will be facing next week in their matchup with the Chargers. I have a couple other takeaways from the offense before I touch on the defense about this game. Dallas Goedert is just a beast. He has been one of the super consistent options the Eagles have had this year for the passing attack. And in my opinion, he's been the number one option on the Eagles offense right now. Now, I'm not saying this is the most ideal formula for success. However, Goddard is consistently open down the field and has the ability to break a few tackles and turn good plays into great plays. So why would Hurts not go to him? I mean, you see an open receiver, you throw it to him. I don't care who it is. And Goddard has been one of the true, you know, alphas on this offense. You know, you'd think it would be Devontae Smith, who we'll talk about in a few. But, it, you know, it always, in this offense, in the Philadelphia Eagles, it has, and in my opinion, always will be ran through the tight ends. And especially Dallas Goedert now, I could see really blossoming into a superstar at the position. This is what the Eagles were banking on, too, when they started talking about trading Zach Ertz. And then eventually, when they did trade Zach Ertz, you know, this gave Goedert the reins, and he has not dropped them at all, not even close, not even loosened his grip a little bit. And one thing I mentioned last week as a thing to look out for was Devontae Smith, and specifically his ability to get off the line of scrimmage against tight press coverage from cornerbacks. And it was another week where he struggled in that aspect. And it's making me nervous. I said it last week, I was a little bit nervous, but I wasn't going to overreact. This week, it's a little bit more nervous. Not at overreact, but you know, as I've been thinking about this conundrum, and as I've kind of been just pondering how to, you know, turn it around, it reminds me of something Alabama did with their superstar while he was still on campus. And one thing their offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian always mentioned was one way to kind of avoid your quote-unquote smaller. I'm not saying he's small by any means, but he is thin. You know, he is thin. So one way to kind of avoid, you know, that type of wide receiver from getting pushed around all off the line of scrimmage from press coverage is to move him around pre-snap. And one thing Alabama did so well was putting him in motion, sending him from one side of the field to the other, even if it's just bringing him from the outside and have him like start walking in towards the slot, just to get him moving so that the cornerback isn't just standing right in front of him, Devontae's not moving, and then the hike, and he sees Devontae move, and he can just jab him with one of his arms. When you put him in motion, it really opens up the whole field for Devontae because, number one, his speed is unbelievable. He doesn't look like it sometimes when he's running around because he's so long and lanky, but he covers ground very quick. And number two, his elusiveness and route running is unbelievable. So if you get him moving one way or the other, you call hike, and he starts cutting across the field, he's very, very well adept to just put on the brakes, cut, make a move, make a, you know, a smooth route, and get separation from receiver, which makes the throw from Jalen Hurts very easy, and then you can get him in open field situations. So I think, honestly, the Eagles should really look at the film from Alabama last year and see what they did with Devontae Smith, specifically when they put him in motion to get him free off the line of scrimmage. Because, you know, I was watching it, some of our buddies at the game yesterday, and like I said, this was something I noticed 2 weeks ago, and, you know, unprompted, you know, one of our guys just said, you know, he really is just getting pushed around off the line. Like, it's tough to watch, and I totally agree. I'm like, it's scary, because, you know, he's such an elite talent at the wide receiver position, but, you know, his one weakness is something that's being exploited right now. And in the NFL, you know, teams are going to find your weakness and exploit it over and over and over and over and over again until you can prove that you can do something else, or you prove you can turn it into a strength. So, at least in my opinion, for me, I think the best move to make with Devontae Smith is to put him in motion a lot more. You know, they did this with Jalen Reagor. I believe he was in motion a decent amount yesterday, but specifically Devontae Smith, I think they need to move him around a lot more and really play to his versatility, because that's something he proved at Alabama as well, that he didn't just need to line up on the outside and make plays. He can move all over the formation and make plays for himself and open up pockets in the defense for other teammates. On the other side of the ball, the defense really responded. I think the biggest takeaway in this game should be how the defense performed. Then again, it was against the Lions, but I digress. They responded after a couple of poor games in a row to absolutely dominate the worst team in the league. And it was a true get-right game for the Eagles against a bad offense. But like I said, it was good to see them at least handle business against the teams that they should dominate if they say who they say they are, which is a respectable team organization in the NFL. The defensive line got to Jared Goff 6 times, with Josh Sweat registering 2 sacks of his own, along with sacks from Milton Williams, Hassan Ridgeway, Taron Jackson, and Derek Barnett. The other awesome moment of the day for the Eagles defense was Darius Slay. In his first game back in Detroit since his trade to the Eagles, he scored a touchdown after recovering a fumble. And I'm sure that just felt great for Darius Slay being back in the only other city he's ever really known from an NFL standpoint, being able to score a touchdown for his new team. And it's actually his second touchdown in the last 4 weeks for Darius Slay after he returned a interception for a touchdown in their game against the Panthers. So, he's absolutely playing fantastic. He's living up to the contract. He's living up to everything that we thought and expected when we were getting Darius Slay. So just very happy that he was able to have that moment in Detroit specifically for this Eagles team. And the defense as a whole just did a good job as they were pitching a shutout going into the fourth quarter until only a late touchdown when the Eagles were already up 41-0 broke up the potential feat. So my overall takeaways from the Week 8 victory for the Eagles is that this is pretty much what I expected. And let me clarify by saying I was not expecting a 44-6 victory, or that the Eagles would run for over 200 yards on the ground, or that Jalen Hurts would not have a touchdown with the Eagles scoring 44 points. It's what I expected from the standpoint that this is the worst team in the NFL, winless at that, in the Detroit Lions, and the Eagles came into the game and made their imprint right away and did not take their foot off the gas pedal. And at the end of the day, they won the football game. That's what I expected, and that's exactly what they did. Now, they sit at 3-5 and in second place in the NFC East. The football team from Washington lost to Denver yesterday, moving out of a tie for second in the division with the Eagles. However, the Cowboys won again on Sunday Night Football, even without their quarterback Dak Prescott. This means the Eagles still sit 3.5 games out of first place in the NFC East. The divisional crown would be the only way the Eagles would find their way into the playoffs based off the strength of the rest of the NFC, and the Cowboys do not appear to be slowing down anytime soon, like I mentioned. The Birds are going to welcome the Los Angeles Chargers into town next week in what will be a good matchup against one of the bright young star quarterbacks in the league in Justin Herbert. All right, that's going to kind of wrap up our Eagles review for this week. Topic number two today, we're going to get into some NFL news because we've had some huge news in the NFL today. Most Mondays usually come with a lot of news, but today is one of the biggest ones we've had all season. We had one blockbuster trade along with a bevy of injury news, so let's start with the massive trade before we start talking about all the injuries. The Denver Broncos have traded Super Bowl 50 MVP and franchise legend Von Miller to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a second and a third round draft pick in the 2022 NFL draft. First off, let's just say, wow, talk about a massive, massive trade deadline deal. Von Miller is arguably the best edge rusher in all of the National Football League, and for a team in Denver who is 4-4 right now to make this move is very interesting. Let's start with this trade from a Denver perspective first. Von Miller is one of the best players in franchise history, with plenty of tread left on the tires. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year, so to be able to acquire a second and a third round pick in the upcoming draft was obviously something that Denver could not pass up. Miller is going to be 33 next year and was more than likely going to be testing the waters out in free agency anyway, which is probably why Denver felt like they had to trade him now, rather than let him walk for nothing if he chose to leave in free agency. I'm going to be very interested in what this means for Denver for the rest of the season because they are sitting at 4-4, only a game and a half out of first place in the AFC West. Now, I will say the 4-4 record Denver has is a pretty weak one, if I do say so myself. Three of their wins have come against the Jaguars, Giants, and Jets, who all aren't particularly good football teams, with their other win, with their fourth win, coming this past weekend against Washington, who is a team I think is a lot worse than many of us predicted going into this season. It's going to be really interesting to see if there's a fire sale coming from this team with the trade deadline looming at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 2nd. You know, they have a lot of pieces, especially one in Melvin Gordon, who I'm going to be interesting to see if he moves 1 year left on his deal. and still getting it done. They also have Javonte Williams, the rookie, who they could hand the reins over to. You know, they still got a lot of good players. They have a multitude of wide receivers. They still have a lot of good defensive players as well. So it's going to be interesting to see if Denver does decide to sell and what that means for the rest of the league. Now on to the Rams, because the rich always seem to get richer, and especially in this case, as the Rams, who already have arguably the two best defensive players at their respective positions in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, have just added one of the premier edge rushers still in their prime, albeit in the back end of his prime, in Von Miller. With the picks going out, this means the Rams only have a third-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and two seventh-round picks in this upcoming draft, after the crazy amount of capital they've sent out over the last couple years in trades. You know, in a clear win-now move, the Rams have added to their most talented defense in the league to make them as serious a contender as we have in this league. Especially with the Cardinals no longer being undefeated, the Rams must have felt as if the time was now to make another big splash to try to capture that elusive Super Bowl title after coming oh so close in 2018. And I just can't wait to see how the Rams play this, because I think Von Miller, he's still coming off an injury. I believe he suffered a type of MCL injury in their Thursday night game 2 weeks ago. So something to still monitor. However, he is going to be playing a decent amount once healthy, and to be able to have Aaron Donald on the inside, Von Miller on the outside, and then have a guy in Jalen Ramsey on the back end, it's going to make playing that team tough, because their offense is clicking at an all-time pace right now, and to have that kind of talent on the defensive end, I think may or may not could split the hairs in giving them the best roster and potentially being the favorite in the NFC. Now that we've dug into the massive trade of today, let's blitz through the rest of the big injury news from yesterday and this morning. Derrick Henry, this is the big news that came out this morning and was rumored to be yesterday. Derrick Henry suffered an injury to his foot yesterday in the first quarter of their matchup with the Colts. He came back into the game, which temporarily halted concern of a serious injury. However, it was obvious his explosion was gone. After the game, doctors believed it could potentially be a season-ending injury, pending the MRI results today, and those tests came back with the information they feared, although not quite as bad as they initially feared. Henry is undergoing surgery tomorrow, which will have him out for 6 to 10 weeks, and the 6-week timeline is pretty aggressive in that sense, and it's most likely going to be more of an 8 to 10 week kind of thing. Either way, the Titans are hoping for their superstar running back to make it back by the end of the season, hopefully for them into the playoffs. But just a seismic piece of news that came out of the NFL yesterday. Derrick Henry, arguably one of the best players in the NFL, might mean the most to his team out of every, you know, player in the league. We're going to see, you know, his true value as how the Titans respond to losing him. But the Titans did act swiftly, bringing in Adrian Peterson for a workout before signing him this afternoon. AP's going to look to fill a gargantuan-sized hole left in the Tennessee offense. Running back Jeremy McNichols will also take on a larger role after being a mainly change of pace and third down option for the Titans. James Robinson, also another running back who left Sunday's game with what appeared to be a serious injury. However, tests today came back bearing better news. James Robinson has been diagnosed with a bruised heel, which is going to leave him day-to-day. His status is in question for their next game. However, the injury is looking much more of a shorter-term issue than it previously had appeared. Jameis Winston also left Sunday's game on a cart after getting horse collar tackled down to the ground, in which his leg was caught underneath him. It ended up causing significant damage to his knees, which tests confirmed tore his ACL in the process. Winston will now be done for the year, obviously, and potentially into next year as well. Taysom Hill has been out the last couple of weeks. The other quarterback they had on their roster who was fighting for Jameis for that week one start. However, Taysom has been out the last couple weeks with a concussion, although he is looking to be cleared in time to practice this week and to be on track to play Sunday, so keep an eye out for Taysom Hill this week. Also, another quarterback who has been hurt, Russell Wilson. He has been on IR for the last couple weeks after suffering an injury to his throwing hand. Wilson is expected to be getting the pins removed from his hand this week. And head coach Pete Carroll even said that, quote, he's going to be really close to playing this week. So this week would be on the shorter end of the timeline he was initially given. However, Wilson has been adamant that he would beat the projected timeline. And with the pins being removed this week, he is one step closer to making that a reality. All right, everyone, that will wrap it up. Just to put a bow on the show, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast as a whole, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you're listening on. It would really mean a lot and would help the podcast reach new audiences. If you want to follow us on social media, check the description below. I hope you all enjoyed, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.